Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Ministries International. We value the Word of God as an instrument of growth in our lives, using it to mend our ways, align our thinking, and ultimately bring restoration. We trust that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
Last week, if you recall, I did minister on the subject of the preparatory work of the Spirit within the church. And we talked about the importance of preparation. And I did mention to you, if I could just remind you once again, how the Lord asked me a couple of questions when he asked me whether we are able, anyone is able to run a marathon without proper training and without proper preparation leading up to running a marathon. And of course, the answer was no. And the other question the Lord asked me, can anyone just jump into the flow of the Spirit and begin to walk in the power of the Spirit without any training or without any sense of preparation? And of course, the answer is no. And what he communicated to us last week was the importance and the value of being adequately prepared for what God has prepared for us. So tonight, the title of my message is Suffering is the Process of Preparation. Suffering is the process by which God prepares us for what he has prepared for us. And the first scripture that we're going to look at and read is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21, just 21. Thank you, Nikki.
For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
Amen. Take a look at that verse once again and read it to yourself. For to this you were called. To what? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Called to a kind of suffering, just as Jesus suffered for our sakes. So as I have mentioned, suffering is the process by which God prepares us for what he has prepared for us in this life. And it is also, I believe, the making of a man and a woman of God, the making of a true disciple of Christ who desires to follow in the footsteps of his master. And if that's you, we need to condition our minds that in our walk with Christ, we will endure a measure of suffering. And I will explain the kind of suffering that I'm referring to. There are two kinds of suffering. The one is the suffering for righteousness' sake, that is, for doing what is right in God's sight, and the other is suffering as a result of our unwise decisions or ungodly behavior on our part. The one we are discussing today is the suffering we endure because of our love and because of our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of suffering that I want to focus on today. Paul, writing to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he said this:
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Here, Paul talks to Timothy and he says, there will be suffering in regards to you being persecuted, or anyone who desires to live a godly life you will at one time or another deal and face persecution from people, from institutions. Now, we need to condition our minds, as I have mentioned, that the closer we get to the Lord, the greater the price we will have to pay. And we need to understand that and condition our minds to think that way. The closer we get to the Lord Jesus, there is a greater price that one has to pay for a close intimacy with the Lord. Not in dollars and cents, of course, but in the fellowship of his sufferings. And Paul talks about this, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And that's what I'm talking about. Every great man and woman of God understands, of course, the cost that it takes to walk in close fellowship with the Lord and to walk in the power of the Spirit. Greater anointing, greater cost. Greater levels of intimacy, greater suffering. The fellowship of Christ's sufferings. For example, the scripture is full of examples of people who were destined for great things, and we read about how they endured suffering. Joseph, for example, went through enormous suffering, and it was unjust and unfair in order to fulfill his destiny and become useful to God and to his fellow men. For 16 years, I think, because he was only a young boy when he left, when his brother sold him as a slave. And for years, he patiently endured harsh and unjust treatment, first from his own flesh and blood, and then, of course, from his master in Egypt. And the word of the Lord describes the kind of suffering or the life of Joseph before he ascended to the throne of Egypt. And it's recorded in Psalms 105, verses 17 through to 19.
He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him.
He was being tested. He was being tried. And the Lord, through suffering, he was able to form his character and to mold him into the kind of vessel that he wanted him to become, so that he may be able to govern righteously, wisely, the throne that he was given by Pharaoh. And he did excellently, and he did well, and he excelled in his commission. Why? Because he was prepared, he was trained, but the kind of training that he went through, it was painful. Imagine going through such suffering and not understanding why. Because when we go through such testing or suffering, very often we question, why? Why is this happening to me? This is so unjust. This is so harsh. Does God really still love me, or has he abandoned me? And all of us, from time to time, when we go through such dry periods, we ask questions. But that's the time when we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding. And Joseph endured, and he endured patiently, not just a year or two or three or five, for many years. He endured this unjust treatment and suffering that, but nowhere do we read in the scripture that he lost his faith, or he became discouraged, or he began to grumble and complain and question the Lord. All the scripture says, and the Lord was with Joseph in prison, and the Lord was with Joseph and prospered him even in prison. what of all the characters in the Bible, for me, Joseph stands far above all. He is the one that I admire the most, because you need to remember, he was a young man in a foreign land. He had no Bible, no fellowship with anyone else who believed like he believed. He stood alone, and he was severely tested and tried, and he was found faithful. The kind of faith that was nurtured within him, it is something to behold. Also, David went through a lifetime, almost a lifetime, of suffering in the hands of King Saul before he ascended to the throne. He was hunted down. If you are a Bible scholar and you read the life of David, and you see from the time that Samuel anointed him until the time he ascended the throne, probably was about 15 years. And during those 15 years, Saul hunted him down and persecuted him like a dog until the Lord eventually delivered him from the hand of Saul, and the Lord elevated him to the throne of Israel. Moses endured suffering in the desert for 40 years before he was ready to deliver his people from captivity. And remember, Moses was a prince of the most powerful nation of the earth at that time. And from a prince, he became a fugitive and a shepherd, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. We see this principle of suffering, patiently enduring and suffering, and sometimes unjust and unfair suffering, again and again in the lives of people that were mightily anointed by God, people who desired to go all the way with God and experience his presence and walk in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. The anointing is freely given, but it is not cheap. It will cost us. And so anyone who desires to get closer to the Lord, to go further as we have been praying than we have ever been before, to go deeper, you need to know that if God answers that prayer, you're going to encounter a measure of suffering, opposition, persecution, rejection, and all of those things are part of the price that a true disciple must pay in order to attain what he desires. Now, a few days ago, the Lord Jesus asked me additional questions than the questions he had asked me last week. And I referred to them, and I mentioned them also in the beginning of my message. But this time, the questions that the Lord had asked me was concerning his life, himself, his life within the sphere of my own influence and surroundings. And I believe the Spirit of God would also ask you the same questions if you are a disciple of Christ, because these questions were not asked of me because I'm a pastor or a traveling minister. It's because I'm a disciple of Christ. Here they are. This is the Lord asking by the Spirit. He asked me this question, referring to himself. He said, is my life making any difference in the lives of the people you live within your neighborhood? Is my life, the life of Christ, is my life making any difference in the lives of the people who live in your neighborhood, in your community? Is my presence, he asked, known, and is my presence felt in your community? Do the people know that I'm alive? Or is it as though I'm not even here among them? Do they know that I live in you and I walk among them? Or am I just a historic figure who walked the streets of Palestine some 2,000 years ago? Do they know that Christ is risen? The people you come in contact with, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your community, the people you meet on a regular basis, do they really know that Christ is alive and that Christ is alive in you? Do they see me in you? Well, needless to say, these questions have cut deep into my spirit, bringing holy conviction, yet not one of condemnation. There's a difference between convicting or conviction and condemnation. They're so far apart, the two. I did not feel condemned in any sense of the word, but the questions that were put to me caused me to ponder deeply and search my heart, examine my life and the way I live among the people in my community. And I understood a truth, which I believe none of us can dispute or deny. And that is, this is the revelation that the Lord had given me, and I know the scriptures, I know where it is written, and we're going to read that just now. The truth that I realized more so than ever before is this: the life of the risen Christ cannot be seen or manifested in us or through us unless we are willing to lay down our own lives so that he can live his life through our mortal body. And the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reveal this truth to us. So let's read it very carefully and slowly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through to 12.
Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you.
Family, this is deep. This is really deep. To know Christ intimately, to experience the power of his resurrection, we must be willing to be conformed to his death and to become partakers in the fellowship of his sufferings. Partakers in the fellowship of his sufferings. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
This is Paul speaking. And he says, I have one desire. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection, but he doesn't stop there. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You see, death must work in us before life is released through us to others. No one can bear fruit in the kingdom of God unless he is willing to die to the world and to the flesh. Jesus said in John 12, 24 and 25. John chapter 12, 24 and 25.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
Amen. That is the way of the kingdom. That is the culture of the kingdom. If we want to produce fruit, much fruit, then we must be willing, like a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die. And then we will bear much fruit. The Bible says that Christ suffered for us in the flesh. We must also be willing to suffer in the flesh before we experience true life in the Spirit. Now, the kind of suffering, and I want you to pay attention because this is very important. The kind of suffering the Scriptures calls us to is the suffering of dying to our own selves, dying to our own dreams and agendas, dying to our own rights and privileges, dying to our own comfort, and whatever else our flesh or our selfish lifestyle demands. That's the kind of death that we're talking about. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Not my plans, but your plans. Not my agenda, but your agenda. Not my opinion, but your opinion matters. And this kind of suffering has nothing to do with sickness or disease, neither with the kind of suffering that comes from our own unwise and ungodly behavior. The kind of suffering the Scriptures calls us to is dying to self, crucifying the flesh. This is the kind of suffering that we are called to. The Bible also says that the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, he no longer lives a sinful lifestyle. Notice what 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2 says.
Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God.
Amen. Now, herein is the purpose for this kind of suffering, that we should no longer live in the lusts and the desires of men, but live for the will of God. This is what this kind of suffering produces. It causes us to stop living a selfish lifestyle, me and mine. We live for the kingdom. We live for the word of, for the will of God. We pursue the kingdom. We pursue the interests of the kingdom. And I believe that God requires from every one of us who calls himself a disciple of Christ to go through a process of death in the flesh, or should I say dying to self. The greater the death we experience, the greater the life of Christ will flow through us. My answer to the questions that the Lord asked me, do the people know that I am alive in this community? Do they know that I walk among them and I live among them? My answer was, and I gave him an answer in faith. I said, Lord, they will know that you're alive among them. They will see your power demonstrated. They will experience your loving kindness. They will know your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. And they will know your healing power. You see, God responds to faith. And I answered that question by faith and through faith. And we should all say the same. We should all be saying what we will be doing or experiencing. They will know that Christ is alive. They will see Christ in me. They will experience the loving kindness of the Lord. And they will know that God loves them. Amen. This morning, my wife and I, after church, visited a home because I texted the lady as I was walking a few weeks ago. I stood and I admired this beautiful home. And the lady at the window, she waved at me. I waved at her. She said, hello. I said, hello. She opened the window. I said, I admire this beautiful home. Well, she said, we've been here for 22 years. You're welcome to come and view it. I said, I will make an appointment and come with my wife. Well, today was the day. So we walked. They welcomed us, both her and her husband. Come to find out, she's a Jehovah's Witness. The husband is not, but she is. And we got talking, and she took us to the house, and beautiful home. I mean, one of the best I've seen in this area. Come to find out, the husband was very ill. He had an open heart surgery. And in our conversation, the wife said, won't you encourage my husband to go for a walk with you, because I see you walking every day. Well, this is the second woman who asked me to encourage the husbands to go for a walk. I said, sure. I'll be here 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll text you. You come out and we walk. The husband agreed. He said, yes. Well, he had no choice. I mean, the wife was... Anyway. And I sensed the compassion of the Lord for this man. Like, I cannot explain it. The Lord said to me, don't witness to them. Don't push anything on them. Just show love and kindness to them, particularly to this man. So I have my assignment cut out for me. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to show him love. I'm going to show him kindness. And I'm going to let him see Christ's kindness and love and generosity and goodness in me. And I believe when he sees Jesus in me, he will naturally gravitate to the Lord. Amen. So be praying for me, guys. Thank you. I need prayer and I need the wisdom of God, because God is taking me into places, meeting people I've never met before. One of my neighbors is a Jew. And come to find out, he goes to a synagogue somewhere in Cape Town. He invited me to go and give a message to the group of people that he fellowships with every week. Now, what else? I say, Lord, what next now? I have been praying, Lord, take my feet where I have never been before. And God is answering my prayer. He's taking me into places I have never been before. People that from different kinds of religion and walks of life, and I'm relying solely on the Holy Spirit how to go from here one step at a time. So the greater the death we experience, the greater the life of Christ will be seen in us. And I believe there's a world around each and every one of you that is crying out in their hearts, we would see Jesus. We want to know Jesus, the Jesus that heals, the Jesus that delivers, the Jesus that heals blind eyes, open deaf ears, the Jesus that delivers from captivity. That's the kind of Jesus they want to see and experience through us. Amen. So let us serve Jesus to them. Not judgment, not condemnation, but kindness and goodness and tolerance and forgiveness. Amen. Many years ago, when I stormed out of our supermarket in anger as a result of having a fierce argument with my wife, speeding down the road, who knows where, was because of my refusal to die to my own opinions and to my own selfishness. And it was my refusal to die to self and lay down my life for my wife, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And in my rage and anger, as I was driving on an open road towards Muntale, I looked up at the clear sky and I saw, as clear as one could see, a white cross, and beneath it the words, "Entudo Nika," which means In this you shall conquer. What was I to conquer? I was to conquer my selfish nature, my anger, my frustration, and all that goes with a selfish lifestyle. The cross is to them that perish foolishness, the Bible says, but to us it is the power of God. You want to conquer? The way to conquer is by embracing the cross and dying to self. That's the way to conquer. From that day on, I began dying to myself slowly and painfully, and it continues to this present day, the death. It's a daily thing. And how I wish that I have gone further and deeper into the death of Christ and experienced much more the fellowship of his sufferings. But remember what Paul said, not that I have attained yet, but I am pressing on. I'm pressing on. And I'm encouraging you, press on. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't be disappointed when things don't work out your own way or what you expected. It's part of God's plan for you, because he's fashioning you, he's molding you into the kind of vessel that he has destined you to be, so that you may be able to do the works that he called you to do. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's a daily struggle, daily confrontation with the flesh and the spirit of this age and its desires. But I thank God, and we thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he comes to our aid. He's our helper, and he infuses us with courage, with strength, with determination to say no to the flesh and yes to Christ every single day. No to my way, yes to you, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want, but what you want. Not what I think, but what you think. That's what counts. Amen? That's the way of the disciple, the way of the kingdom, the culture of the kingdom. And let us remember the words of Jesus and take courage and strength from them in what he said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14.
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Amen. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and we cannot carry excess weight with us. And difficult is the way. Therefore, we need to be light on our feet and light on our shoulders. Amen. Remember the words of Jesus from Matthew, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is very light. And if you desire to walk the walk of a disciple, you cannot carry any other yoke. And you cannot follow the spirit of this age that loads you with the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, because they will choke the life out of you. And we need to learn and exercise ourselves in casting our burdens, our cares, all our worries, all our concerns upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for us, just like a father cares for his children. And remember, he loves us more than any earthly father. And one more thing before we go. And that's the final statement I'm going to make. If you want to be free from cares, from anxieties, from fears, shut your ears to the voice of the world, to the wisdom of the world, because it is designed to communicate to you fear, stress, anxieties. You keep listening to the world, You keep reading what the world tells you, you're going to be full of worry, full of fear, full of anxiety. Stop it. Shut your ears to that and give your undivided attention to the Word of God. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those that find them and health to all of the flesh.
Thank you for listening to this message. For additional resources or more information about this ministry, come and visit us at alphaomegaint.org.za.